Alden sensed it.
Oh, you have to go. Can I walk you there, just to see where you work?
May said, now feeling very unsettled. Sure. If she hadn't known better and couldn't see the ID cord around his neck, she would have assumed Cowden, with his pointed but unfocused curiosity, was either someone who'd wandered off the street or some kind of corporate spy. But she didn't know anything. She'd been at the circle a week. This could be some sort of test, or just an eccentric fellow circler. May led him back to her desk.
It's very clean, he said.
I know, I just started, remember? And I know some of the wise men like the circle desks very tidy. You ever see those guys around here?
Who, the wise men?
May scoffed.
Not here. Not yet, at least.
Yeah, I guess not, Cowden said and crouched, his head at the level of May's shoulder.
Can I see what you do?
For my work?
Yeah, can I watch?
I mean, not if it makes you uncomfortable. May paused. Everything and everyone else she'd experienced at the circle hewed to a logical model, a rhythm, but Cowden was the anomaly. His rhythm was different, atonal and strange, but not unpleasant. His face was so open, his eyes liquid, gentle, unassuming, and he spoke so softly that any possibility of threat seemed remote.
Sure, I guess, she said.
It's not so exciting, though.
Maybe, maybe not.
And so he watched May answer requests. When she turned to him after every seemingly mundane part of her job, the screen danced brightly in his eyes, his face rapt, like he'd never seen anything more interesting in his life. At other moments, though, he seemed removed, seeing something she couldn't. He'd look at the screen, but his eyes were seeing something deep within. She continued, and he continued to ask occasional questions.
Now, who was that? How often does that happen?
Why did you respond in that way? He was close to her, far too close if he was a normal person with everyday ideas of personal space, but it was abundantly clear he was not this kind of person, a normal kind of person. As he watched the screen, and sometimes May's fingers on the keyboard, his chin got ever closer to her shoulder, his breath light but audible, his smell, a simple one of soap and banana shampoo, coming to her on the winds of his tiny exhalations. The whole experience was so odd that May laughed nervously every few seconds, not knowing what else to do. And then it was done. He cleared his throat and stood up.
Well, I better head out, he said. I'll just slip away. Don't want to interrupt your pace here. I'll see you around campus, I'm sure.
And he was gone. Before May could unpack any of what just happened, a new face was beside her.
Hi, I'm Gina. Dan said I'd be here.
May nodded, though she didn't remember anything about this. She looked at Gina, a woman a few years older than herself, hoping to remember something about her or this meeting. Gina's eyes, black and heavy with eyeliner and moon blue mascara, smiled at her, though May felt no warmth emanating from those eyes, or from Gina at all.
Dan said this would be a good moment to set up all your socials. You got time?
Sure, May said, though she had no time at all.
I take it last week was too busy for you to set up your company's social account, and I don't think you've imported your old profile?
May cursed herself.
I'm sorry, I've been pretty overwhelmed so far.
Gina frowned. May backtracked, masking her miscalculation with a laugh.
No, in a good way, but I haven't had time yet to do extracurricular stuff.
Gina tilted her head and cleared her throat theatrically.
That's so interesting you put it that way, she said, smiling, though she didn't seem happy. We actually see your profile and the activity on it as integral to your participation here. This is how your coworkers, even those on the other side of campus, know who you are. Communication is certainly not extracurricular, right?
Now May was embarrassed.
Right, she said. Of course. If you visit a coworker's page and write something on the wall, that's a positive thing. That's an act of community, an act of reaching out. And of course, I don't have to tell you that this company exists because of the social media you consider extracurricular. My understanding was that you used our social media tools before coming here.
May was unsure what she could say to appease Gina. She'd been so busy at work and didn't want to seem distracted, so she delayed reactivating her social profile.
I'm sorry, May managed. I didn't mean to imply that it was extracurricular. I actually think it's central. I was just getting acclimated here at work and wanted to focus on learning my new responsibilities.
But Gina had hit a groove and would not be stopped until she'd finished her thought.
You realize that community and communication come from the same root word, communis, Latin for common, public, shared by all or many?
May's heart was hammering. I'm very sorry, Gina. I fought to get a job here. I do know all this. I'm here because I believe in everything you said. I was just a bit crazed last week and didn't get a chance to set it up.
Okay. But just know from now on that being social and being a presence on your profile and all related accounts, this is part of why you're here. We consider your online presence to be integral to your work here. It's all connected.
I know. Again, I'm sorry to have misstated my feelings.
Good. Okay, let's start by setting this up.
Gina reached over May's divider and retrieved another screen, bigger than her second screen, which she quickly arranged and connected to May's computer.
Okay, so your second screen will continue to be the way you'll stay in touch with your team. That will be exclusively for CE business. Your third screen is for your social participation in the company circle and your wider circle. Does that make sense?
It does. May watched Gina activate the screen and felt a thrill. She'd never had such an elaborate arrangement before. Three screens for someone so low on the ladder? Only at the circle.
Okay, first I want to go back to your second screen, Gina said. I don't think you've activated circle search. Let's do that.
An elaborate, three-dimensional map of the campus appeared.
This is pretty simple and just allows you to find anyone on campus in case you need a face-to-face.
Gina pointed to a pulsing red dot.
Here's you. You're red hot.
I'm kidding. As if recognizing that might have been considered inappropriate, Gina quickly moved on.
Didn't you say you knew Annie? Let's type in her name.
A blue dot appeared in the Old West. She's in her office. Surprise, surprise. Annie is a machine. May smiled. She is.
I'm so jealous you know her so well,
Gina said, smiling but briefly and unconvincingly. And over here, you'll see a cool new app which sort of gives us a history of the building every day. You can see when each staffer checked in every day, when they left the building. This gives us a really nice sense of the life of the company. This part, you don't have to update yourself, of course. If you go to the pool, your ID automatically updates that on the feed. And outside of the movement, any additional commentary would be up to you. And, of course, would be encouraged.
Commentary? May asked. You know, like what you thought of lunch, a new feature at the gym, anything. Just basic ratings and likes and comments. Nothing out of the ordinary. And of course, all input helps us do a better job at serving the Circle community. Now that commentary is done right here, she said, and revealed that every building and room could be clicked on, and within, she could add any comments about anything or anyone. So that's your second screen. It's about your coworkers, your team, and it's about finding people in the physical space. Now it's onto the really fun stuff. Screen 3. This is where your main social and Zing feeds appear.
I heard you weren't a Zing user. May admitted she hadn't been, but wanted to be.
Great, Gina said. So now you have a Zing account. I made up a name for you. Mayday, like the war holiday. Isn't that cool?
May wasn't so sure about the name and couldn't remember a holiday by that name.
And I connected your Zing account with the Total Circle community, so you just got 10,041 new followers. Pretty cool. In terms of your own Zinging, we'd expect about 10 or so a day, but that's sort of a minimum. I'm sure you'll have more to say than that. Oh, and over here's your playlist. If you listen to music while you work, the feed automatically sends that playlist out to everyone else, and it goes into the collective playlist, which ranks the most played songs in any given day, week, month. It has the top 100 songs campus-wide, but you can also slice it 1,000 ways. Top-played hip-hop, indie, country, anything. You'll get recommendations based on what you play and what others with similar taste play. It's all cross-pollinating while you're working. Make sense?
May nodded.
Now, next to the Zing feed, you'll see the window for your primary social feed. You'll also see that we split it into two parts, the inner circle social feed and your external social. That's your outer circle. Isn't that cute? You can merge them, but we find it helpful to see the two distinct feeds. But of course, the outer circle is still in the circle, right? Everything is. Make sense so far?
May said it did.
I can't believe you've been here a week without being on the main social feed. You're about to have your world rocked.
Gina tapped May's screen, and May's inner circle stream became a torrent of messages pouring down the monitor.
See? You're getting all last week's stuff, too. That's why there's so many. Wow, you really missed a lot.
May followed the counter on the bottom of the screen, calculating all the messages sent to her from everyone else at the circle. The counter paused at 1,200, then 4,400. The numbers scrambled higher, stopping periodically, but finally settling at 8,276.
That was last week's messages? 8,000?
You can catch up, Gina said brightly.
Maybe even tonight. Now, let's open up your regular social account. We call it Outer Circle, but it's the same profile, same feed as you've had for years. Mind if I open it up?
May didn't mind. She watched as her social profile, the one she'd first set up years ago, now appeared on her third screen next to the Inner Circle feed. A cascade of messages and photos, a few hundred, filled the monitor.
Okay, looks like you have some catching up to do here, too, Gina said. A feast! Have fun.
Thank you,
May said. She tried to sound as excited as she could. She needed Gina to like her.
Oh, wait, one more thing. I should explain message hierarchy. Shit, I almost forgot message hierarchy. Dan would kill me. Okay, so you know that your first screen CE responsibilities are paramount. We have to serve our customers with our full attention and our full hearts, so that's understood.
It is.
On your second screen, you might get messages from Dan and Jared or Annie or anyone directly supervising your work. Those messages inform the minute-to-minute quality of your service, so that would be your second priority. Clear?
Clear.
The third screen is your social inner and outer circle, but these messages aren't, like, superfluous. They're just as important as any other messages, but are prioritized third, and sometimes they're urgent. Keep an eye on the inner circle feed in particular, because that's where you'll hear about staff meetings, mandatory gatherings, and any breaking news. If there's a circle notice that's really pressing, that'll be marked in orange. Something extremely urgent will prompt a message on your phone, too. You keep that in view.
May nodded at her phone, resting just below the screens on her desk.
Good, Gina said. So those are the priorities, with your fourth priority, your own outer circle participation, which is just as important as anything else because we value your work-life balance, you know, the calibration between your online life here at the company and outside it. I hope that's clear. Is it?
It is.
Good. So I think you're all set. Any questions?
May said she was fine. Gina's head tilted skeptically, indicating she knew that May actually had many questions still, but didn't want to ask them for fear of looking uninformed. Gina stood up, smiled, took a step back, but then stopped.
Crap! Forgot one more thing.
She crouched next to May, typed for a few seconds, and a number appeared on the third screen looking much like her aggregate CE score. It said, May Holland, 10,328.
This is your participation rank. Party rank, for short. Some people here call it the popularity rank, but it's not really that. It's just an algorithm-generated number that takes into account all your activity in the inner circle.
Does that make sense?
I think so.
It takes into account zings, exterior followers of your intracompany zings, comments on your zings, your comments on others' zings, your comments on other circlers' profiles, your photos posted, attendance at circle events, comments and photos posted about those events. Basically, it collects and celebrates all you do here. The most active circlers are ranked highest, of course. As you can see, your rank is low now, but that's because you're new and we just activated your social feed. But every time you post or comment or attend anything, that gets factored in, and you'll see your rank change accordingly. That's where the fun comes in. You post, you rise in the rankings. A bunch of people like your post, and you really shoot up. It moves all day. Cool?
Very, May said.
We started you with a little boost. Otherwise, you'd be 10,411. And again, it's just for fun. You're not judged by your rank or anything. Some circlers take it very seriously, of course, and we love it when people want to participate. But the rank is really just a fun way to see how your participation manifests itself vis-a-vis the overall circle community. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, then. You know how to get hold of me.
And with that, Gina turned and left. May opened the intracompany stream and began. She was determined to get through all the inner and outer feeds that night. There were company-wide notices about each day's menus, each day's weather, each day's words of the wise. Last week's aphorisms were from MLK, Gandhi, Salk, Mother Teresa, and Steve Jobs. There were notices about each day's campus visits, a pet adoption agency, a state senator, a congressman from Tennessee, the director of Médecins Sans Frontières. May found out, with a sting of remorse, that she'd missed, that very morning, a visit from Muhammad Yunus, winner of the Nobel Prize. She plowed through the messages, every one, looking for anything she would have reasonably been expected to answer personally. There were surveys, at least 50 of them, gauging the circular's opinions on various company policies, on optimal dates for upcoming gatherings, interest groups, celebrations, and holiday breaks. There were dozens of clubs soliciting members and notifying all of meetings. There were cat owner groups, at least 10, a few rabbit groups, 6 reptile groups, 4 of them adamantly snake exclusive. Most of all, there were groups for dog owners. She counted 22, but was sure that wasn't all of them. One of the groups dedicated to the owners of very small dogs, Lucky Lap Dogs, wanted to know how many people would join a weekend club for walks and hikes and support. May ignored this one. Then, realizing that ignoring it would only prompt a second, more urgent message, she typed a message explaining that she didn't have a dog. She was asked to sign a petition for more vegan options at lunch. She did. There were 9 messages from various work groups within the company asking her to join their sub-circles for more specific updates and information sharing. For now, she joined the ones dedicated to crochet, soccer, and Hitchcock. There seemed to be 100 parents' groups, first-time parents, divorced parents, parents of autistic children, parents of Guatemalan adoptees, Ethiopian adoptees, Russian adoptees. There were 7 improv comedy groups, 9 swim teams. There had been an inter-staff meet last Wednesday, hundreds of swimmers participating, and 100 messages were about the contest, who won, some glitch with the results, and how a mediator would be on campus to settle any lingering questions or grievances. There were visits, 10 a day at least, from companies presenting innovative new products to the circle. New fuel-efficient cars, new fair trade sneakers, new locally sourced tennis rackets. There were meetings of every conceivable department. R&D, search, social, outreach, professional networking, philanthropic, ad sales. And with a plummeting of her stomach, May saw that she'd missed a meeting deemed pretty much mandatory for all newbies. That had been last Thursday. Why hadn't anyone told her? Well, stupid, she answered herself. They did tell you, right here. Shit, she said. By 10 p.m., she'd made her way through all the intracompany messages and alerts, and now turned to her own outer circle account. She hadn't visited in 6 days and found 118 new notices from that day alone. She decided to plow through, newest to oldest. Most recently, one of her friends from college had posted a message about having the stomach flu, and a long thread followed with friends making suggestions about remedies, some offering sympathy, some posting photos meant to cheer her up. May liked 2 of the photos, liked 3 of the comments, posted her own well wishes, and sent a link to a song, Puking Sally, that she'd found. That prompted a new thread, 54 notices, about the song and the band that wrote it. One of the friends on the thread said he knew the bassist in the band, and then looped him into the conversation. The bassist, Damien Galati, was in New Zealand, was a studio engineer now, but was happy to know that Puking Sally was still resonating with the flu-ridden. His post thrilled all involved, and another 129 notices appeared, everyone thrilled to hear from the actual bassist from the band, and by the end of the thread, Damien Galati was invited to play a wedding, if he wanted, or visit Boulder or Bath or Gainesville or St. Charles, Illinois, any time he happened to be passing through, and he would have a place to stay and a home-cooked meal. Upon the mention of St. Charles, someone asked if anyone from there had heard about Tim Jenkins, who was fighting in Afghanistan. They'd seen some mention of a kid from Illinois being shot to death by an Afghan insurgent posing as a police officer. 60 messages later, the respondents had determined that it was a different Tim Jenkins, this one from Rantoul, Illinois, not St. Charles.
There was relief all around, but soon the thread had been overtaken by a multi-participant debate about the efficacy of that war, U.S. foreign policy in general, whether or not we won in Vietnam or Grenada or even World War I, and the ability of the Afghans to self-govern, and the opium trade financing the insurgents, and the possibility of legalization of any and all illicit drugs in America and Europe. Someone mentioned the usefulness of marijuana in alleviating glaucoma, and someone else mentioned it was helpful for those with MS, too. And then there was a frenetic exchange between three family members